Bismillah, assalamu alaikum, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Womanhood Conversation. I'm your host, Naima B. Robert, and today I have a special guest for you who should be familiar to you if you know my channel. If you don't, then please help me to welcome Ummu Talha from Marital Arts, mashallah, and Hayat Coaching. Sis, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm so glad to have you back on the channel, mashallah. We've had two amazing discussions before, and I think we're going to have another one today, but I will link to your previous talks in the description of this video, guys, so that you can catch them. They are some of the best performing videos on this channel. They are that popular, mashallah, and they are that full of goodness. But today, what we're going to be talking about, Ummu Talha, is the idea and the concept of womanhood, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what this series is about, but in light of faith. Mm-hmm. What can you give us on the topic of womanhood in light of our faith?
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. Well, I would like to say firstly and most importantly that we know about things from the one who created us. And the one who created us knows us better and knows what is best for us. So that's a very important point to note, because often we get wrapped up into ideas of what's happening now, what the trend is, or what the popular culture is. But then we have to bear in mind, as a woman of faith, as a Muslim woman, we have to see what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this topic or this issue, so that we can have a clear perspective on this matter. So when we talk about womanhood, let's see, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Because Allah created the man and the woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, "Laysa dhakaru kal-untha," that man is not like the woman. So from the onset, we know that Allah has created the man and Allah has created the woman. And man and woman, they're not the same. They're biologically different, they're psychologically different, and they're emotionally different.
This is heresy, sis. This is not allowed to be said in today's day and age. Are you sure about this? Or do we really know what is a woman? What is a man? How can we know these things?
Well, think about it like this. When you buy a product, what do you rely on to know about the product? The manufacturers or the maker of the product. Mm-hmm. And then you would look at the guide. Say, for example, maybe I'm thinking of this example because I'm thinking of replacing my vacuum cleaner. So say if you're thinking of buying a vacuum cleaner, whether you go for Dyson, Shark or Vax, when you buy it, you would look at the manual to see how do you best operate this vacuum cleaner. Yeah. I mean, with Allah's best of example, I'm just thinking about an example that's in my mind at the moment.
It makes a lot of sense. It's a good example, mashallah. I love me a good metaphor, alhamdulillah.
So you would look at the manual that comes with the product, and you would depend on the manual because you trust it's from the one who put it together. So the maker of Dyson, makers of Vax and Shark, what have you. So you have that trust. Why? Because it's from the person who manufactured, designed, and created it.
SubhanAllah.
So why is it different when we think about the creator of man, the creator of woman, the creator of the whole universe? And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, as women of faith, we look to our creator. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And that should be the central point of our discussion. That is our home base.
Yes.
With anything. Because as women of God, we have to be mindful that before we look at anything, we have to see what does our tradition say? What does our text say? Because these are our blueprint, because it's a consistent a thing in our life. So we have to depend on this. So from there, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Laysa dhakaru kal-untha," that man is not like the woman. So rather than fighting it, rather than having a battle with it, we embrace, because this is what it means as Muslim women to say sami'na wa ata'na. So we hear and we obey. So then we understand Okay, so as a woman, what are our nature from the creator? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that Allah has created us in a certain way. We have certain strength and we have certain weaknesses, just like the man. The man has certain strength and the man has certain weaknesses. And together we try to understand, okay, this is how I can support my men, like, you know, men of the family. And this is how the men can support the women of the family. So we are an ally. We're not battling with each other, but rather we are a force united as a team. So we see what is our intrinsic nature that we can play to the full advantage to get the best out of the situation and each other. As a daughter, how to be supportive as a daughter, and the father to be supportive as the male guardian of the daughter. So it's always playing to each other's strength.
Complementary roles.
That's right. And as a woman, you're first a daughter, then you are a wife, inshallah, if Allah blesses you to be married. Then if Allah blesses you, you'll be a mother. And then if Allah blesses you, you'll be nieces, nieces, aunties, grandmother, and so on. So each stage of our life, we are playing different role as supporting or being supported. That's very important. We play a role as a supporter, and also sometimes we play a role where we are being supported.
Yes.
And that's fine, because sometimes you give, sometimes you take. And this is like a fine partnership in all different relationships that we have in our life. So that's one thing that we need to bear in mind. Another thing is that we have certain qualities about us that we should not run away from, or we shouldn't deny, but embrace it. Like, for example, one quality that I think it's a great strength, because it makes us more emotionally intelligent, is that we can sense emotions around us very easily. So that's very good when it comes down to rearing or, you know, nurturing little children, because we are connected with the child's emotion. So we know what they need.
Yeah.
And perhaps this is one of the things that Allah has instilled in us so that we are better at nurturing future generation. Whereas man may be quite, what's that word? Not absent-minded, but he may not be in tune as much as the woman. Yeah, because this is where woman has that maternal instinct, subhanAllah. Yeah. And Allah made her so that she is like this, so that she's better in tune with her children.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whereas the man, mashallah, he is very courageous when it comes down to certain areas of play, you know, like he would like to play rough. And this is needed for the child to explore boundaries, to be challenged. Whereas we might feel, oh my God, the child's going to get hurt. Whereas the father or the man or the uncle, whoever the male guardian is, they are more wild when it comes down to being physical.
Yeah.
Allah created the man like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that quality is also needed. So you can see both of masculinity, femininity, it's good and it should be encouraged. But I find nowadays, from my observation, there's a lot of push in women discarding their femininity and trying to adopt their masculinity.
And men being told to discard their masculinity and embrace their feminine side, right?
Yes.
I think the two things are happening at the same time.
Yes, simultaneously. But, yes, simultaneously, yeah. It's happening. But why? Why should we be coerced into discarding our femininity when that is the thing that makes us a woman? A feminine quality is to be embraced, not to be shying away from. Because that is part and parcel of our makeup. So one, this is a bit like when somebody says to you, oh, you're very good at public speaking. And when you say, no, no, I'm not good at public speaking, and you're just, you know, denying your natural qualities to be a public speaker, you're not living to your full potential. Mm. What would be a better thing to do is say, yes, I am, alhamdulillah, good at public speaking. So therefore, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to thrive with it. Because not everyone has this quality to be a public speaker. It's a quality Allah has blessed you with. So therefore, why deny it? Thrive with it, embrace it, and celebrate it. So similarly, Allah has blessed women with certain qualities: femininity, emotional intelligence, being in tune with people's needs around you. Embrace it and be a better person in your life, in serving and being around for other people. And this whole idea of, well, I don't want to be serving others, why not? Service is the best act you can give to other human beings around you. And any quality, when we look at it, if it's done with faith in mind, then it transcends the intention. It's key to whatever we do. But the main point I'm trying to make is that every topic, every discussion needs to be led by what the Creator has said about it. And the point about womanhood in this day and age, we need to see, okay, there's a lot of discussion about what is a woman? What does it mean to be a woman? Even questioning, you know, does that actually make
actual biology?
Biology.
Questioning biology.
Yeah. So there are certain things where you don't question, because if you question, then you destabilize everything in your life. Yeah. So I think this is key for us women, women in Islam, women of faith, to think about that. Allah has said himself that man is not like the woman. So, okay, let's see. There's a difference, because man and woman, biologically, they're different. Psychologically, they're different. Emotionally, they're different. And it's important to embrace those differences rather than battling with the idea, oh, is there a difference? No, man. Look, man...
It's a stereotype. These are gender stereotypes, you know, not that it's natural, but that it's, you know, kind of created by the environment. But, you know, Talha, I have a question for you, because I know our section today is not going to be very long. What do you think mothers and fathers can do? But let's talk. Let's keep it tight. I want to talk about girls today. What do you think parents should be doing to encourage their daughters to embrace their womanhood as they grow up? Because I know that with our latest generations, there's a trend to push our girls to be more masculine. It's a pendulum swinging, right? If in your family, the girls were too docile, passive, maybe got walked all over, they became people pleasers and all of that, this pendulum swings so that now we push the girls to be loud and to be kind of sassy and, you know, stand their ground and just more masculine, basically, right? Or we kind of praise that type of behavior or allow that type of behavior, right? And maybe downplay other areas or don't even emphasize them at all. In your mind, is there anything that parents can do, mothers or fathers, to encourage their daughters to embrace their femininity as they grow?
That's a very good question, because we have to be mindful how our daughters grow up in this society where there's a lot of push towards being loud and proud and just saying it as it is.
Yeah.
The thing is, we mustn't confuse between raising our daughters with haya and confidence. There's a two different thing.
Thank you for mentioning that.
They can grow up with haya. So they know, okay, this is a way to speak, you know, taking all the ideas of how Allah wants a woman to be. So speaking the truth as and when it needs to be spoken, that's good. That should be encouraged.
Sorry, sis, before we continue, just for those who are listening and watching and don't know what you mean when you say haya, could you just explain that before we continue?
So haya is bashfulness, shyness, modesty, and having a certain like ladylike traits where you're not, you know, very upfront and abrupt.
In your face.
Yeah, that's right. So what needs to be distinguished is that having confidence to speak the truth, and of course, there's a way in which we speak. So there is etiquettes and manners and morals to be taken care of. And at the same time, having this sense of bashfulness and, you know, modesty in the way you speak has to be taken care of, so that the girl, or, well, we're talking about girl in particular, she knows that she is able to express what she feels she needs to express. At the same time, as Muslims, we adhere to etiquettes. There's a moral, there's manners that we need to abide by. So from the early on, if you encourage that, where, say, at the dinner table, your son and your daughter, they get the chance to express themselves. It's not like, okay, what does the son want? And we're not going to listen to what the daughter wants. This is a comfortable space.
So giving them that space to be able to express themselves in a non-combative environment, I guess, because that's, that helps if you are allowed to express, if you grow up expressing yourself in a safe environment, then you're not on the defense all the time or on the attack all the time, because I was never heard or I was never given a chance to speak. Now I'm going to speak, you know, maybe.
Absolutely. So in that situation, you're encouraging the girl to have her say, and express herself and be heard, and also be able to say what's on her mind. So she's able to see that, you know, I am able to say what I think, and also have an area where I can fully express myself.
And be taken seriously, I think. Exactly. I think that makes a big difference to your confidence.
Exactly. So that's about having her say. Similarly, when we talk about, you know, responsibility, of course, the girl has certain share of responsibility. So if you think about the dinner table, so if she's also encouraged to take part, you know, do the thing that she, you know, is seeing her mom do, and the boy is also taking part and doing the thing that he's seeing his fathers do. It's not a case where the girl does everything and the boy doesn't do nothing. No, everyone contributes, because it's not a like a lodger's stay. It's a home. It's a family stay where everyone should pull together as a unit. So the man has a role and the woman has a role. And that should be taken care of simultaneously, so that both parties are engaged in, you know, like, you know, the training process of, you know, adulthood, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and it's not a thing where the girl does everything or she doesn't do anything. You know, it's in the middle.
We can have a balance, right? Because I think what we need to wrap up, but we talked about it in our last podcast, where we were saying how, you know, at one point in time, girls did do everything, right? Girls were expected to do everything to help their mom, and boys were not expected to do anything in the home at all, touch anything in the home. And then, like I said, we swung the pendulum all the way to the other side, so that girls now don't do anything and don't know how to do anything. And their mom, who, if even if the mother was doing what, you know, her share in the house or taking care of the home, she purposefully did not train her daughter to do that. She purposefully would do it herself rather than getting her daughter involved. I think that there's this idea that, no, my daughter will do better than me. My daughter is going to be educated. My daughter's going to have a degree. She's not going to live the way that I live. And do you think that, I mean, that's my analysis. Do you think that that's a fair analysis of what's happened, maybe especially in a lot of Asian families, intergenerationally, where mums have not passed down housewifely, motherly skills to their daughters because they've been pushing them to get educated and focus on that? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think in every generation, there's obviously going into two extremes, you know, the best place to stay is in the middle, because that's a balance, and balance is needed in all aspects of our life. So yeah, maybe in the past, you know, mothers were rearing their daughters to be, you know, homemakers and, you know, have skills to, you know, manage life
and
skills.
Constantly talking about getting them married as well. If you see the old films, they're always talking about from when they're like 13-14, and you must marry well, and you must marry well, you know, and you will marry well, and she's got curls, she'll find a husband easily. So there was that. And now we've got the opposite.
And, you know, the good thing about that generation was that the idea of marriage was planted from early on.
Yes.
And therefore, there wasn't a very like long delay in marriage, yes, what we're facing nowadays.
Exactly. Now, we're on the opposite end now.
Opposite end now. Now, you know, mothers aren't even thinking about marriage and the girl's like 21 and, you know, she's not even ready by the age of 25. Then I'm thinking, when is she going to be ready? Because you have to bear in mind the biological clock as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there is one extreme to another. So nowadays, there's a lot of focus on education, career, which is fine. Girls should be educated. Girls should think about what she wants to do in her life other than X, Y, and Z. However, we are missing the point of training them to have basic life skills.
Yep.
And these life skills are essential. Why? Because it enables you to cope with the demands of life, because you got to eat, you got to clean, you got to, you know, look after your space.
Yeah.
And that needs certain basic life skills like tidying, cleaning,
yeah,
you know, rustling up a meal for yourself, you know, because obviously, as you know, nowadays, you know, the cost of living, recession, all of that, you know, so it's always better to eat home cooked meal because it's cheaper, wholesome, healthy, and so on. So we are not thinking about the life skills because maybe the mother had a different type of, you know, experience growing up. So we're just so into education and career and we're not thinking about how to survive as a human being. So the basic life skills, you know, like boiling an egg, doing a cup of tea. I mean, these are things that we used to just do because we were expected to do when we were growing up, you know, like the guests have come. Put the kettle on, make the tea.
I want to say this as a parting point to everybody who's listening. And this is something I've shared with my girlfriends, my sisters as well. I've noticed in our generation, we love hosting. And alhamdulillah, we're probably like maybe the last generation that have the skills to be able to actually, you know, throw down, like cook nice food, you know, entertain guests, etc. And what I notice with my friends is that they don't involve their daughters. They do it all themselves. And that's something tangible that everybody, if you believe that it's important for your daughter to be able to have exactly, as you said, the basic skills, involve her in meal prep, involve her when you're hosting, right? Let her see it from the inside. Don't let her be like a guest. I've seen my daughters and their friends, you know, we'll go to a friend's house, and the young girls, they all run off to the bedroom to go and talk about Harry Styles or something, you know, sorry, guys. Yeah. You know, instead of actually, you know, hosting, you know, can I get your drink, auntie? You know, would you like this? Or, you know, I made this salad, you know, and laying the table, being part of that hosting experience, which is, you know, these are some of the lost feminine arts, right?
Yeah.
These are some of the things that, you know, generations would pass down faithfully. And there's been a break in that passing down.
Absolutely. But I couldn't agree with you more, Naima, because I think, you know, children, you know, learn through participation. There's nothing like when you get involved and be part of the whole process. And when we encourage girls and even boys, you know, when they go to shopping with their father, thinking, okay, what am I going to get? You know, being part of the, you know, a collection of this item in the, you know, aisle of the supermarket, it gives them basic skills to be able to do a shop, you know? So I think with regards to the girls, you know, it's the responsibility of the mother to train and to nurture the girl in a way that she's actually acquiring these life skills, essential life skills. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is something that we can really start to develop the feminine side of the girl in our homes.
100% agreed. And definitely over the course of this year, inshallah ta'ala, we will be sharing more on, you know, breaking down these things, right? Because one of my goals is not to just have these high level discussions, but actually on the back of these discussions, some real lessons, masterclasses, workshops to teach what it is that we need to learn in order for us to try to correct what's happened with us as a society, really, when it comes to, you know, our womanhood, our personhood. So I want to thank you, Ruzi Khatun Umm Talha, for coming and gracing us with your presence. Mashallah, you always bring, you know, such a fresh take on things and so much wisdom. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and your family in all your affairs. And my last question is, well, not my last question. I have one question and then I'm going to ask you to let everybody know where they can find you. But my question is, will you come again?
Inshallah, you've asked me so nicely. Why wouldn't I?
Jazakallah khair. How can people find you, sis, and how can they interact with you and work with you?
So you can find me on Instagram, underscore Talha, and also on Hayat Coaching Instagram. DM me if you're interested to, you know, find out more. Every Saturday in East London, I've been running a halaqa. So you're welcome to attend if you're in London, East London. So that's every Saturday from 10:30 to 12:30. So come along if you're free with your daughters. Inshallah.
Yes. Jazakallah khair. And that's another thing as well. When you see sisters going to sisters events and they don't bring their daughters, you know, and the sisters event could be a really beautiful event. It could be like a charity dinner. It could be, you know, there's so many sisters events, especially in places like London. Mm-hmm. And it's such a missed opportunity when we're not bringing our daughters along to bring them into this space of sisterhood, because it's, oh, she's not going to enjoy it. Oh, you know, it's not really her thing. Bring the gyal, man.
You know, Naima, I have to say, you know, subhanAllah, the circle that I hold every Saturday is actually for mothers, but I'm surprised that so many young girls, they come along with their mothers, mashallah. And we told them that, look, there are other halakas that young girls can go, but they love coming with their mums because they like to be part of the, like, you know, sisterhood and women's group.
Yes.
So yeah, it's wonderful. And what is interesting, many mothers tell me that actually that journey that they take with their daughters to come to the halaqa, it's like a bonding time for them.
Yes,
as well.
Yes, yes. And then they go and get milkshake or coffee afterwards, I'm sure. All right, guys, you heard it here first. All links will be in the description, inshallah. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jazakallah khair, Talha, for taking time out of your day. We'll see you again, inshallah, on this channel. And those of you who are watching, please do hit the like button. Do not forget to subscribe. We're on our way to 50,000 subscribers and you can help us get there, inshallah. Please make dua for my guests as always. And don't forget to make dua for me, your host, inshallah. Naima B. Robert signing out. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.